If you have your Bible, would you join me in 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament? 1 Thessalonians. And I will eventually get there, but I want to give you a few verses beforehand, and then we'll just stay in 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible grouped the T's together. The longer T's, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the mid-range T's, 1 and 2 Timothy, and the shortest T, Titus. And I learned that from Miss Charlotte. So we want to keep her in prayer. She has a scheduled procedure on Thursday that is going to go perfect and be back celebrating, worshiping with us here soon. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I began a series last week on one of the most important men in the Bible, and that's Abraham. And we really focused on Genesis chapter 12. But this morning, because it is Father's Day, I'm going to skip ahead to Genesis chapter 18. And I'll read a few verses here, and then I'll come up to join you in 1 Thessalonians. But we will go back, Lord willing, next week, and we'll look at some of the events in this man's life in those chapters, beginning in chapter 13, because they are very important and they're very relevant for us today. So, if you have your Bible, if you're there in 1 Thessalonians, would you join me as we make this confession together? The words are on the screen. Those of you joining online, I'm sorry, I got to get used to looking at this camera, don't I? I'm used to looking back there. We want you to join us as well in this confession. The words are on the screen if you follow along. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to write these verses down, I'll read them to you from Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 17. Genesis 18, 17, and it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Again, that's God's heart. I said it last week. We are blessed to be a blessing. God's heart is for all people and for all families of the earth. He just chose a man and a people, and today us, through whom he would reveal himself with a heart for the world. And then verse 19 says, "I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." See, it's in our obedience to God's word and direction that we place ourselves to receive the blessing and the promises that God has offered to us. So God chose Abraham not just as a man, but as a father through whom he would bring the blessings of forgiveness, of righteousness, and eternal life to all people. That's God's heart for us. And I want to ask you to just write a scripture down in John chapter 8 as well. Jesus is speaking to some of the religious leaders of his day in this account. And he relates, or he makes a contrast between Abraham's physical descendants that are share his ethnicity and Abraham's children. So let me read this to you from John chapter 8, if you want to write it down. John chapter 8 and beginning in verse 31, Jesus said, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and that truth that you know and live shall make you free.'" Jesus said God's word is truth. Truth is available. If we want to know the truth, we can. And it's not just truth sets us free. It's the truth we know, that we believe, that we apply to our lives, that has freeing power. And he goes on in verse 33, "And they answered him, 'We're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Anyone know anything about the history of Israel? Y'all ever heard of Passover? I don't know what they even meant by that, but they said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. And Jesus went on to explain to them, I won't read every verse, but he said, if you live in sin, you're a slave to sin. But if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So there is a greater freedom. The greatest freedom is freedom from sin. And then it's dropped down for sake of time to verse 37. Jesus said this in response to them. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Notice, because my word has no place in you. See the contrast between those who abide in his word. And then he says, now you don't have, my word has no place in you. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, now remember, he said, you're his descendants, but if you were Abraham's children, see the difference? You would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Let me pause right there a second. Well, Jesus makes that distinction. You have his ethnicity, but you don't have God's spirit. And there is a difference between, see, Abraham is a spirit, he is the spiritual father, and God is the heavenly father of all who believe in Jesus as Lord. And Jesus actually goes on to tell them, I won't read it, but he said, you are of your father, the devil. That means they were following Satan's in the spiritual realm. They were following Satan's desires and his will rather than following God's heart and his will and following his word. Then the Bible says this, if I just continue on there, he says in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And they said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Here's one of the ways we can tell if we're God's children or not. We love Jesus and his word is in our heart. That's what he told them. He said, you don't have God's word in you and you don't love me. And that shows God is not really your father. And because of that, you're doing the works of your father. See, if we want to really do the works of God, we have to have him as our father first, because then his spirit indwells us and he helps us do by his grace what we could not do without him, to do his will. And on this Father's Day, I'd like to just share some truths about God, our Father, but they're, I would say, values that we can live out as earthly fathers, but they're really values because they're values of God that every follower of Jesus can live out. And I'll make it quick. I won't take a long time on each one of them, but if you want to write them down, again, it's five of them that I'd like to share. And I like to just start by saying this, because some in our culture, not everyone, I don't even believe it's anywhere near a majority, but some consider manhood toxic and fathers unnecessary. But I want you to know God says different, and you are valued here. Men are valued, moms and dads are valued. And God bless you if you're a single parent or you've been one and you're trying to fill both roles, because that's a hard job. It's hard enough with both because God designed complementary roles for mom and dad to work together. We each bring something of value to the table, so to speak, in our walk with our sons and daughters. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact. I've read studies recently of even how little children, when they're in infancy, they can get more excited when their dad holds them at certain times, and because they can link their dad with like just something fun and the responding to the voice, and there can be that calming effect too. But let me ask you this. Around the world, this is true. One parent picks up their little baby and tosses them up a little bit in the air, and they're like in terror going up, and they come down, and they're giggling, and sometimes they are aware enough to want it again. Is that more likely to to be the dad or the mom. Isn't that something? And everyone knows it around the world. So again, we each bring up something of value, but for those who go in it alone, God bless you. Thank you that you're doing it. And I would just encourage you, be involved in a family of faith where you can have godly men as examples to maybe your son, godly ladies to your daughters, because this is a family too. Thank God for our biological families, so important, but the spiritual family is the one that'll last for eternity. So let me share these with you. And these are characteristics of God and godly fathers and believers. And now, are you in 1 Thessalonians? I'm finally joining you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, because I want you to see how they're all inspired, what motivates all of these actions. And here it is, verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, which means the good news of God, but also we were pleased to impart to you our own lives because you had become dear to us. Brothers and sisters, every value that we're getting ready to see, every virtue comes from a father who has a heart for his children and a heart for all people. God so loved the world, and God demonstrates his own love toward us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And that's what God wants from us, that whatever we do for others, we do it out of the love of God in our heart by his spirit, love for him and love for one another, whether they're physical descendants or not. So here is the first characteristic I would say of godly fathers and believers, and our Father in heaven is that God the Father leads us. Godly fathers lead. Godly followers of Jesus lead. Parent or not, we lead. And the scripture there we read earlier about Abraham said that he would command his children to keep the way of the Lord. That's the first time that phrase was used in the Bible. And it's used 50 times in the Old Testament, about a dozen in the New Testament. The way of the Lord. And this is really important to me because at this point, Isaac had not been born. But it says God knew him. And I want to encourage everyone here today that you may have some responsibilities and roles that you haven't even stepped into yet. Maybe some young people, you're going to be a husband or wife one day. You're going to be a mom or dad one day. Do you know that the parent, the spouse that you become is already working in you right now? That's why it's so important that we stay close to the Lord, grow in Christ's likeness, because the more Christ-like we are, the better we're going to be in that relationship. Whatever it is, or whatever that calling and job and responsibility may be. Would you write this scripture down? I see some of you. Let me read it to you in Genesis chapter 26, and then I'll join you back in 1 Thessalonians. Genesis chapter 26, this is what the scripture says about Abraham. Remember, it says he would command his children, but Abraham wasn't one of those, don't do as I do as I say do. So this is what Genesis 26, verses 4 and 5 says. How it reads, it says, I will make, God speaking, I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's what he said to Abraham, but he's not speaking to Abraham. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. See, as a father, God leads by his self-sacrificing love for us. He willingly sacrificed and gave of himself for us. Abraham didn't just preach it. He led the way. And God said, because he did, there's going to be a blessing that comes to you. I believe she already knows it, but I hope that one day it will even become a greater revelation to Brittany that some of the blessings that she experienced in her life are because I, with all my faults and flaws and failures, my heart is, I want to be a father after God's heart. And if God passes on a blessing to me, I hope she sees that I have some blessings because my dad walked with the Lord. So Abraham led the way. He didn't just preach it. He led the way by example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. These are spiritual fathers. Brother Mark is a spiritual father. Not only to this family, but to others. He says, For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. That's important. We don't just follow people. We follow people who follow the Lord. That's the pattern. So he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, even though you received God's word in much affliction, you still had joy of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Then verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. See, as we follow the Lord ourselves, then we can share God's word and we lead the way for others to follow the Lord. They weren't their biological children, but they were spiritual fathers to this family of faith. They followed the Lord because their leaders followed the Lord. Do you see how important that is? And it's not just for biological. So you as a follower of Jesus can be an example to lead the way for others. All right? So would you say lead? Lead. Oh, I didn't even give you the title of the message, did I? I've been thinking about it this morning. I'm sorry. Here's the title of the message. I want to be like my father. I want to be like my father. And I hope your earthly dad, I'm sure he did, had some virtues that maybe you learned from, or whether it was a biological or adoptive father, someone, a man in your life that blessed you. Maybe you learned whatever it is that you still keep with you to this day. But ultimately, I want to look higher and say, I thank God for my earthly father, but I want to be like my heavenly father. And that's something that all of us can aspire to. He is a good father, isn't he? If you believe it, would you say it with me? I want to be like my father. Let's say it together. I want to be like my father. And so we lead. Second, we intercede. We lead, and then we intercede. What does intercede mean? We pray for someone else. I pray for myself, and we are to do so. Give us this day our daily bread. But we pray for others, too, like their need is ours. And remember, it's all done out of love. We lead the way in love. We intercede for others in love. We care enough about them that we cry out to God in their behalf and we pray. Genesis chapter 18, there's an account here of, once again, of Abraham. And he's praying in this instance for his nephew Lot and his family. And he prays for them to be saved from a coming judgment that's coming to the land. And the Bible says this in Genesis 18 and verse 23. It says, Abraham came near to the Lord and he said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, yes, he will. He will always. But here's what he said. God said, okay, I'll spare that city because you prayed for 50 people. But then he kept working him down. And he said, don't get angry, but what if there were just 5 less? What about 45? And he eventually worked his way down to 10. And this is what it says in verse 32. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Do you see the heart of God there? He doesn't want to destroy people. He wants to save people. The Bible says that he wants all to come to repentance and not perish and not be destroyed. So we lead and then we intercede. And here we go again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says this, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. These spiritual fathers, these church leaders, prayed for their church family and thanked God for them. They thanked God for them and prayed. They interceded for them. I want to say this to anyone that you, especially if they're under your care, so to speak, don't let your loved ones go a day in this life without covering them in prayer and praying God's word over them. Amen. That is an expression of love. And I'm so thankful that I'm a father, and I'm grateful that I can serve the Lord in this capacity as well. I want you to know I care about you. I love you. I thank God for. I can tell you that I can look every one of you in the eye and tell you I thank God for you and I pray for you. So, because I want to be like my Father, do you realize that God's Spirit prays for us according to the Father's will? The Bible says even Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So we see, that's why I said God is the example. Our Father's praying for us. Jesus told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you. He wants to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Thank God. So godly believers, godly fathers not only lead, but we intercede. And then number three, we encourage. Lead, intercede, and encourage. I had to bump that temperature down a little bit this morning. I don't want to frost you out, but I was warm. I'll put it in the middle a little bit. Encourage. Let's look at this scripture again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted or encouraged and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Discouragement, I'm sure we can all relate, can drain us emotionally, drain us mentally, drain us physically, I believe even drain us spiritually. And the Lord knows we face many sources of discouragement to our faith in our world today. Thank God. He encourages us, as the scripture teaches, by his Spirit. He encourages us by his Holy Word. But you know the main way he encourages us? Through other godly believers. Amen. Who are filled with his Spirit, who have his Spirit, and who speak his Word. God encourages us through others. And what a blessing that's a great ministry. Like I said, I believe there's such a need today of just discouragement, people are facing it, and we need encouragement at times. And then there are times we need to be the encouragers. And so I want to kind of give you a little challenge today on this one. Because sometimes it's easy to get in our own world by our own issues and problems. If I'm discouraged, it's easy to focus on me. And it's easy to just get down, but people don't know what I'm going through. And I'm not making fun of that in any way. I'm just saying it's human. I think it's easy to do. But maybe God is going to encourage me as I lift my focus and lift my eyes and see someone else I can encourage, and in giving, I receive. And in encouraging, I'm encouraged. So God, thank God for that he encourages us. Thank God he does, but he uses people. He uses us in that process. So we lead, we intercede, and we encourage. I want to ask you, I'll join you in this one. I'm going to say, help us, Lord, to look to see who we can encourage in their time of need, when they need it. Number four of that same verse says, you know how we encouraged or exhorted and comforted. And just like encouragement, God cares and he comforts the brokenhearted. And he's a healer of the brokenhearted. And just like with blessing, we are blessed to be a blessing. The Bible says that God comforts us in all our tribulation and affliction so that we can in turn take the comfort we receive from God and comfort others in their time of need. So I want to be like my Father. I want to lead in the right way. And even when I fall, that I want to be quick to repent. Man, I don't want to be in stubborn pride and self-will. But be humble enough to admit it, seek to make it right, and then to intercede. And I want to be an encourager. I want to be a comforter. And sometimes comfort can just be simply prayer. Our presence. just being there. I don't always have to talk. Maybe sometimes people don't need that. Now, there's a place for a word in season. But maybe on some instances, just to be led by God's Spirit, I just need to be there. So be there in prayer. Be there. Just be there. And maybe a holy hug. Because that can be comforting and encouraging and strengthening. I want to be like my father. I believe you do as well. Let me give you this last one. Verse 11, once again. As you know how we encouraged and comforted and charged, I'll come back to that word, and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I want to give you a definition of this word charged, because in our culture, it's used throughout the Bible. It's a scriptural word. It's a good word. But in our culture, we can use it in a negative way. We can say, well, they were charged with disorderly conduct. So I'm not charging you in that way. But it really was interesting to me because the word is most often translated to testify. It's related to a word that's translated witness in the New Testament. So it means to testify, and it also means to urge, like you're urging someone on. So to testify then, if I want to be like God, my Father, then to urge someone or charge someone, I share a testimony of God's love. I testify of God's power. I testify of God's faithfulness and his goodness to me. That's a testimony. But then I also want to urge others on. I want to urge Brittany on in her walk with the Lord. At times, she's having a rough day at work. I want to not charge her like you better. I want to charge her like I want to urge you on. Just be faithful. God has your back, and God sees. And the Bible says that he will repay. Ultimately, they sign your check, but God is your provider. Amen. So to testify and to urge on, let's urge others on, especially our loved ones, our family members in their walk with the Lord. I'll close with this. I just drove back this morning from Lynchburg. Been a fool. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to go, and that was my Father's Day time with Brittany. I'm just grateful. It's been kind of an emotional morning for me. And then Kim gave me a card and opened that before I walked into church over across the parking lot, and I was like, Brittany started going to making trips to Lynchburg in 2011 because Brittany was a junior in high school and she went for like college for a weekend. And so God would only know how many times I've been up and down 460. Y'all testify over the years. But I saw a name of a street this morning I've never noticed. I'm sure it's been there all along, probably a long time. And it stood out to me today for some reason. The name of this street is Hurt, H-U-R-T, Hill, H-I-L-L. Hurt Hill. And I thought, man, that would be kind of a weird address. Well, I live on 2011 Hurt Hill. But I got to thinking about that. There's even a phrase, I think it's a little bit unfair. I know what it means. It's called father wound. I know that applies to probably many people have been hurt by maybe from everything from an abusive to absent father. I'm not making light of that. But any relationship could bring hurt. It could be mom, it could be son or daughter. And I thought, here, this is a physical address, but I wonder how many today live spiritually on Hurt Hill. They live there. We live there from some hurt, not making light of it, some wrong, something we've been through. Lord knows I wouldn't dare try to make light of anyone's pain. I hope you know me enough to know that. But we don't have to live on Hurt Hill because there is a Father who will not only transform us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, he will transform us from Hurt Hill to Healed Hill, from Hurt Hill to Holy Hill, from Hurt Hill to Loved Hill, from Hurt Hill to Blessed Hill. Thank God. We have a choice on that one. We can come to him and pour out our heart and say, God, I'm hurting, I'm broken, but I believe you loved me enough and you care enough. I'm ready to change address. And he will help pack up the mess and get rid of it and travel lightly and move on. Anybody want to be like the Father this morning? That we lead, intercede. We encourage, comfort, and urge. God loves you today. You online, God loves you. Have you been born again? Is God your Father through faith in Jesus as your Lord? Maybe today you can think of at least one way in which you would like to grow more like your Father in heaven. And I want to ask you to think about that. How do you want to be like your Father? And whatever that is, I know it might be multiple ways, but right now, how do you want to be like your Father? I would just encourage you, stay close to Jesus. Stay in close fellowship with Jesus. Do his word. And in time, you'll grow. And you'll grow more like him. Let's receive the blessing today. God says, I want you to bless my people like this. This, I'm going to put my name on them. The Lord bless you and keep you, preserve you, protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace for his glory in Jesus' name. Can we stand together? Would you just think about that a moment? Think about how you want to be like your Heavenly Father. Maybe it's one area that comes to mind. And would you just let him know? Remember, he loves you. His grace is available, his healing, his comfort, his encouragement. It's ours for the receiving. I want to ask you to come and receive this morning. Before we sing this, Mr. Torres, if you want to get the children, they can come back in during this song. Is there anyone who today who would say, Brother Rocky, I have one area specifically that I want to grow more like my Father, and you know it already, you know it in your mind and your heart right now. Would you just lift your hand right there so I could pray for you? Would you hold them up just a moment? I'm not trying to wear you out. I just want to recognize you because I want to pray for you this week. I love you and I care about you. I'm with you in that. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray that you would move us, help us move, if that's the case, from Hurt Hill to Healed Hill. I know it's a process, but help us to stay close to you and walk with you every step of the way. And whatever that area is where my brothers and sisters and I want to grow more like you as our Father in heaven, Lord, would you give us grace? Show us how, help us. As we can't do without you, but help us to simply believe you and grow more like you. And then use us as your heart, your hands and your feet, even your mouth to others for your own honor and glory in Jesus' name.